Okay. You guys, we always start with a prayer. I'm Jim Kelly from the Diocese of Charlotte. Welcome. Let's look on page 3, and you can pray with me if you would, or on your Hoover app. Name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry, answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. I'm pleased to introduce one of our own in our office. So the Charlotte Diocese has 20 schools, which Camille will tell you. And Camille's a director of development whose job is to be a consultant or a help to the 20 schools and the work she does. It was only 6 months. We had a person position previously moved on to some consulting work, and so we were looking to find someone to fill a position. I didn't think of her initially. She didn't think of us. We should have. She was our best development person at one of our schools. We didn't want to take her away from that pastor, and she didn't want to leave that pastor, so I was praying. She kept on seeing the ad, and she kept on praying, so we talked, and she's been with us doing a great job. So she's been here 6 months, but she's doing a lot of good work and a lot to share. So I'm looking forward to hearing from her. Thanks, Camille. Thank Welcome.
You. Thank you guys very much. Well, welcome. Glad that you guys could join me for this wonderful opportunity that I have to share with you guys some wonderful nuggets of information about an annual fund. Now, the annual fund, I have to tell you, is my passion, okay? As Jim mentioned, I came from a parish school in Salisbury, North Carolina, which is about 40 minutes north of Charlotte. We have a very small school, about 170, 180 kiddos, so not very large. It was JK through 8th grade. And our annual fund was an absolute amazing part of our school. And the reason why we enjoyed it so much is because we took that opportunity to make it a marketing and enrollment opportunity. Okay. We didn't just want it to be, oh, let's just send out a brochure. Okay. Let's send out a couple of emails and see if we get some checks. We really wanted to take that opportunity to step it up and push it further along and really broaden our horizons to make it a whole marketing opportunity for our school. So when I saw the position was posted to come and share this valuable information with all of our other schools in the diocese, I jumped right on it. And I have had such a wonderful time working with my new family in the development office. Some of my colleagues are right back here in the back supporting me, so I appreciate that very much. Here at my first conference at here in New Orleans. So let's go ahead and kick it off with the Charlotte Diocese and who we are in Charlotte. Here we go. So a little bit about the Diocese of Charlotte. We have 20 schools and 92 parishes, okay? Now, 9 of our schools belong to a system called Mecklenburg Area Catholic Schools, which is basically a school system within Charlotte. And then we also have 11 additional schools spread throughout Western North Carolina, going from Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Asheville, Gastonia, and Salisbury, and that's where I am from. We have 4 high schools and 1 middle school, and 11 K-8 and 4 K-5 schools. About a little over 8,100 students. We have been blessed with about 7% growth over the last couple of years after COVID, like a lot of our other Catholic schools. We have about 750 faculty members. Some neat stats about our schools. Our oldest school was founded in 1882, and I have to tell you that is my former school, Sacred Heart, and we're going to talk about the 1882 fund here shortly. And then our newest school is 2013. Last year, our annual funds combined, we had $1.4 million, and 19 schools participated, so we've got to get one more on board for this year. And then we had over 2,600 donors. So very excited about that. Our fiscal year giving, as I mentioned, 1.4 for the annual fund, but overall, 4.2 million, which includes all of our fundraising with our PTOs, our booster club, and other restricted, gifts as well. And we have, over 18 million in endowments and 88 school endowments total. So very, very proud of that. So, you'll see all of our schools represented there, and big shout outs to all of them. They're all doing a great job. So when we think about the annual fund, okay, I want you guys to think about it as being a work of art, okay? So Henry Rosso says fundraising is the gentle art of teaching the joy of giving, okay? So a lot of the other sessions have been talking about we're giving our donors and others in our community that opportunity to give back. Okay, we're giving them that opportunity to feel good. I love when Mary was talking about that. We're letting them feel good about the things that they're doing, and we want to share that opportunity with them. So what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the art of the annual fund, okay? And we're going to talk about the A for aligning, because we want to get organized, okay? The R, we want to reach our donors and recruit more. We want to thank our donors, and then just a few additional extras. Okay? So before we get started, just a question. I'm just curious. When we say the word annual fund, school annual fund, what comes to your mind? Who wants to participate with that? Let's see. What do you think? What's the first word that pops into your mind? I'm curious.
General operating.
Okay. General operating. Okay. What else?
Unrestricted.
Okay. All right. What else?
Alumni.
That's great.
Letter campaign.
Oh, letter campaign. Okay. Anything else? Yes, that's my favorite one. I love it. 100% participation. Okay, great. What else? Major gift pipeline. Any more? Oh, these are absolutely, yes.
Alumni.
We have to reach those alumni. That is for sure. Because we have so many people who love our schools, and these graduates, they want to give back. We just have to find them. You're absolutely right. So we're going to talk about all of these things, okay? So let's go ahead and start with the A, with our align, and some of these things you're going to look at and say, whoop, my microphone. There, it's back on. Sorry about that. Let's move along here. Okay, so align. Now, first thing, have you guys ever thought about a school theme? Okay, when we talk about a school theme, we think about a way that we could market our school, we could choose it at the beginning of the school year, and we could use that theme throughout the year, okay? We really want to get people excited about the new school year. We want to get them excited about annual fund, really want to show off our school. So we want to generate excitement. We want to tie together our marketing and advancement efforts, and you can choose things that could be a virtue, okay, generosity, gratitude, a Bible verse, I've seen those, or a school charism. So a couple examples that we have. I'm sorry. Okay, so I love this first one here from St. Mark Catholic School, Mission Possible. So they have tied their school theme this year to, they wanted to tap into the mission, okay, our mission, Catholic education, and they also wanted to tie together some type of a fun space technology theme. So they're going to be branding Mission Possible, not only on all of their marketing materials, but all of their annual fund materials. Be a Living Light from St. Gabriel. This is amazing what they're doing with this year. They've already started this campaign. All of their staff members are wearing T-shirts with Be a Living Light. They're already promoting their annual fund with Be a Living Light. And it's everywhere throughout their building, as well as Joy in Service. And this comes from the St. Matthew Wildcats. And they are always giving back in their community, like the majority of all of our Catholic schools are, but they're really focusing on service opportunities this year and, building up the kingdom. Okay. So, whoops. Our next slide here. Now, setting a SMART goal. Best practice number two. SMART goals. We all know what SMART goals are, but a lot of times we don't think about formally establishing them and doing the research behind forming these SMART goals, okay? So, one thing to keep in mind with your SMART goals, you always want to use historical data. So go back to last year's campaign, take a look at your donors, take a look at how much, you know, you earned your increases and your, of course, your dollar amount, your number of donors. Of course, your participation, as we heard earlier. Look to see how many of your staff have participated, your school family participation, your alumni donors, okay? And you could even set your goals, number of gift over to gift increases there, excuse me. So this is an example of a SMART goal here. We'll review one, just for a simple review. So the All Saints campaign will begin on July 1st, 2023 and end on June 30th. The goal is to raise $50,000 for our school annual fund. The annual fund proceeds will be used for staff reward retention and recruitment, tuition assistance for families in need, and co-curricular programs. Last year's campaign raised $45,000. Reaching $50,000 will allow our school community to increase the amount of program support for our teachers, students, and families. The launch of recurring donations will help us raise the additional $5,000. So this particular goal here, as we know, is very specific. And that's measurable, very specific. $50,000, okay? And we know we can measure it. It's definitely attainable. It's a little more than last year, but not overly ambitious. We don't want to set our goal too high, okay? And also, we have a plan for new recurring donations, which would help us aid in that increase. It's definitely relevant because it supports the mission of the school, and it's time-based. It starts in July and ends in June, okay? So this is a very good example of one of those SMART goals. Like I said, this is lengthy. This one is a little shorter, okay? So this one here is just acquire new donors, and I'll let you guys look through that in the slides a little bit later if you want to review the presentation. But I want to move on to number three, okay, donor cultivation. So while you're planning and aligning your strategy, okay, you want to think about how you're going to cultivate donors. So how are you going to cultivate your new donors, and how are you going to cultivate long-term donors? And remember, we all know it takes time. We wish it happened overnight, but it takes time to build relationships, okay? Here are some examples of ways to build general cultivation actions through, you know, a more general appeal here. So you could have, of course, ads, your annual report, brochures, calendars, emails, text blasts, social media, targeted mailings, testimonials. I love the Spirit Rock. That's for all your parishioners even coming, and they see your school and they're driving by the Spirit Rock, and I think that's always fun. Of course, your bulletin boards in your school and church, participating in community events, articles in your diocesan and local newspapers, service projects, and broad thank yous in your bulletin and social media. Now, the personal cultivation actions are a lot of fun because you can really personalize and spend time with those special donors. So, and getting to know them, sending birthday cards and Christmas cards. If you know a wedding anniversary, that's always nice to send a note then. Personal emails, phone calls, invitations to special school events. We like to do that at Sacred Heart. We'd invite them in for different presentations. We may ask them to present special awards, maybe a special community service award. Maybe attend a special school mass. Invite them for dinner with the bishop. Okay, if your bishop's open to that. Dinner with the priest or the principal. Give them special recognition. Ask them to be a guest speaker for leadership events. That's always a hit right there. And then a thank you note from students or a thank you project from students as well. Okay, number four. Now this is so basic, creating a timeline. This is so basic. I know, guys, you're going to say, Camille, why are we looking at creating a timeline? Now, I know a lot of you in this room are extremely busy and you wear 15 million hats like I used to. And I would have all these ideas going through my mind, all of them going through my mind. And the most important thing I can do is sit down and lock myself in a room for a couple of hours. It could be just me. It could be me and a couple of teammates and put together our timeline. And once I've established a timeline, I can do anything. Okay. You got to unclutter up here. Okay. And I was just meeting with one of our new principals last week and I told her, I said, you are so busy. You are busy, 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 and I get that. And she had all these great ideas. And she kept saying, how can I implement this? How can I do this? How can I do that? And I said, first thing you need to do, we got to get organized. Yes, ma'am.
Last year, I used ChatGPT to create a timeline for
us. Yes, exactly.
It was awesome.
Yes.
And then I revised it on YouTube.
That's a great idea. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's a wonderful idea. More nuggets for you up here. Definitely more nuggets for you. But it's just so important to spend that time and really focus and make your timeline, okay? Document things like what you're going to do, obviously, but then also document who is going to be in charge of a certain action, okay? It could be, I got it. Who is in charge of a certain action, okay? And then you're holding people accountable to that too, okay? Include your meetings in there, your mailings, your digital posts, plan everything out. And use a planner of your choice. I love that idea of the ChatGPT. You guys are going to love these ideas. And this first slide is my favorite. This first idea right here. Oh, that's my favorite one. See that one there on the left? That's the one I just used. That's my favorite one right there on the left because you can see everything. But I'm old school. That's how I like it. Now, Mr. Kelly, Jim over here, he really likes the one on the right. That's just your regular planner. Okay. And then we can get very savvy, of course, and we can use our Google Calendar, which is for free for anyone who has Google. And if you're on Microsoft Teams, they have a nice timeline there. And one of my colleagues really enjoys Work Less, Raise More, and they have an absolutely fantastic annual fund timeline as well. And there is a bit of a cost to that. So check that out, but she highly recommends that. She uses that all the time. Okay. So a lot of different resources that you can use. Okay. Best practice number five. Hello. Welcome. For annual fund success, plan a fall kickoff. Okay. We call it the annual fund for a reason because it goes through the whole year. Okay, so we want people to know about it all through the year. So, as most of you guys know, we want to raise 80% of our funds in the first, 6 months of the year, okay? So it gives us more time to meet or exceed our goal, okay? Does that make sense? More time. We're going to meet and exceed our goal, okay? It also allows us more opportunity to ask, okay? So you can have your fall kickoff, okay, with a big event. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then we can do I Give Catholic. I love I Give Catholic. I know representatives are here at the conference as well. They're great. We can ask them for a year-end gift. Catholic Schools Week is always a wonderful time as we're celebrating our Catholic schools. Spring, we can have a spring to it type campaign. And then end of the school year, maybe donating in honor of a certain teacher, adding for a new priority or something along that line. So it gives you another, more opportunities for ask here. You can also look at your trends. If you're not achieving your goal, look at your trends. And then I think my favorite here is that the donors can see the timely impacts. Now, when donors see how their money is being used, they want to give more. They're like, oh, wow, I did give to that campaign. And, wow, look at those kiddos have that new playground. Or, wow, those students have those, you know, those new computers. Or, whoa, the teachers got a big bonus. And that was one of those annual fund priorities, was teachers getting a bonus. We did that at Sacred Heart. So at my school, we wanted – that was one of our incentives or one of our priorities for annual fund was teacher recruitment, retention, reward. And so Christmas time, we gave everyone a pretty good sized bonus. I mean, you know, $500 to $1,000 for part-time and full-time teachers. But then we were able to make that announcement, you know, in the bulletin that, you know, we were, yeah, able to reward our teachers with that. And then people, you know, then we have the rest of the year to continue to, you know, get donations, and people see that their money is being put to good use. So another good reason to start this up in the fall. These are just a couple examples here. Oktoberfest is always great fun. Who doesn't love some beer and bratwurst? Okay. The wine and cheese reception, always a great time to bring people in on a more formal event there. Oh, you could also have another family favorite, the fall festival. You could have a pumpkin patch, all sorts of fun things, create a pumpkin, do your face painting, all that great, great stuff. Or a 5K, okay? You could combine a couple of those together. You could do an Oktoberfest and a 5K. But there are so many, you know, different options that you have in the fall to make it fun and to make it family friendly, you know, and to engage the students is a lot of fun as well. So just about all these you can engage the kiddos in, except for maybe the wine and cheese reception, but they're all a great time. Okay, moving on. Best practice number 6, meeting with your school leadership council. Okay. Now, very, very important to meet with your school leaders, okay? And this could be your school board, okay? But you also want to include some other key people in this group. If you're a parish school, please invite your priest, okay? Please invite your priest. Also, go ahead and invite your church and school finance chairs, because they need to know what's going on. And the people in the church finance, they need to know, okay? We want them on board. Invite your religion chair. If you have different committees in your school, always be sure to invite that religion chair, because you want them to understand why you're raising money and that you're following the mission of the school, okay? And also bring in a parish representative. Not just a school family representative. They could be, you know, school family and parishioner, of course, but it's a beautiful thing to have one of your solid parishioners in there supporting what you're doing at the school. Okay. So I'd highly recommend that. And then talk about your priorities. Ask them what they think about it. I used to go in to this meeting with a full plan. Okay. And I would show them and I would say, what do you guys think? Let's hash this out. is this going to work? Is this what the community needs? And we would sit there and we would talk it all over. We would talk about incentive plans for participation. I mean, we would talk basically about the whole campaign and what it was going to include. But I really wanted to be sure that we had unity between the church and the school and that everyone knew what was going on. The last thing we want is for our parishioners to sit over in the church and say, all that school does is ask for money.
Yeah, I see you smiling. Yeah, yeah.
We don't want that. We want everyone involved, and we want our schools participating and being actively involved with the parish. Okay. Now here, these are wonderful. Here on the left, how many of you guys have school leadership councils? Do you guys? Any of you guys? Okay, wonderful. At the Diocese of Charlotte, we have those as well. And these are our bylaws. And our superintendent was kind enough to share these with you guys. So if you guys are looking to change your bylaws, make any edits, or just want to take a look at ours, we've shared those here. And you can click into those on the PowerPoint later. And then our strategic planning officer, Jackie Durrett, she talks about the SLC with new administration coming on board. And that is a beautiful PowerPoint presentation that you guys are more than welcome to use as well, that she shared with you guys today too. So please check out those resources. I think you'll find them extremely valuable. Okay. Okay. Now, does anyone need any chocolate? Would you like one? Pass them around. Pass them out. Yes, he does. That's okay. I know it's long. I know. We're working through it. So now we're going to move into the R, okay, to the reach and recruit. Okay. Oh, yes. It all starts with impressions. Impressions, not only in the community or in the parish, but we everyone to see our school, okay, and everyone to see what we are all about, okay? So, first of all, let's start with our parish impressions. Let's get involved. Let's get engaged with the parish. So, let's start off with some after-mass enrollment events. These are great fun. So, for example, you could, when school starts back, okay, all sorts of fun. Oh, we're out. We had little shot glasses, those little plastic shot glasses, and we put little donut holes in them. And we carried around on trays, and we said, there's a whole lot going on at Sacred Heart Catholic School. Oh, our priest loved it. He shouted that from the rooftop. Or we would say, cheers to the new school year, okay? And we would have cheer wine. That's big in North Carolina. And we would have little cans of cheer wine out there for folks. But you can do all sorts of clever little back to school, after mass enrollment events, Catholic Schools Week. I know a lot of us thank our parishioners, after, you know, at that time as well. Participating in parish events. That is one thing that is extremely important, that you have representatives from your school participating with the parish. Thank you. So we're going to participate with our parish events. Always have a table back there, you know, depending on the event, giving information, but also an activity. You could do face painting or sand art or any type of fun activity just to engage those children, okay, so they can learn more about the school. Weekly bulletin. How many of you guys are able to put ads in your weekly bulletins? Most of you guys? Good. Some of our schools have a little difficulty getting into those bulletins. So I would recommend trying to reserve some real estate in that bulletin at the beginning of a year and ask your, whoever's in charge of that in the church office, if you can reserve a page every week, maybe every 2 weeks get a page, but really get that real estate, because that's what you need. Okay. And then the annual report, putting together maybe a church and school annual report so folks can see all of the great things that you're doing, not only in for fundraising, but also for in your community. Okay. Okay. Number eight, the culture of giving. And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier in another session, but we want everyone to understand that we all have gifts to give. And a lot of parents in our schools are wondering why people keep asking them for money. Do you all get that in your schools? Oh my God, they're asking me for wrapping paper sales, and then the booster club's asking me to buy basketballs, and then I have to buy candy. Oh, and then I have to donate an auction item. So people don't know why they're giving and who they're giving to. So it's important to educate the differences between your annual fund and your other school fundraising efforts. So this is a piece that we put together this year. We gave it to all of our 20 schools. It's called Together We Give, and it explains the different ways that people can make an impact in your school. Maybe through prayer, of course, very important, presence. And then this whole inside section here was about philanthropy. So this particular school, they talked about their Catholic school annual fund. I gave a little description and what the four priorities are for their annual fund. And then underneath, as you can see, it's PTO fundraising events. And that shows the difference between where the money goes from the PTO and where, you know, the money goes for the annual fund. So very important to get that information out to parents at the beginning of the school year so they see the differences, okay? On the back page, participation, okay? Because if this is a culture of giving and together we give, we also want to focus and showcase how our students are giving back and participating. Okay, so each school had an opportunity to put down a few of their community service activities there, and then a nice section for planned giving as well. Okay, so going ahead and establishing that culture of giving at the beginning of the school year and getting that information out to families at the beginning of the year. This is another example from one of our high schools. And so you can look at that one a little bit later, too, but beautiful example. Yes, sir. That is one of our annual funds. That is, they were founded in the year 1959, and that was the title of their annual fund. Mm-hmm. They are in they'll be in the PowerPoint presentation. Got it all for you. And I can get you a copy too, right off my computer. You let me know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That Together We Give is a template that you. Okay. Creating a logo. We want nice, strong logos. Okay. So right there, there's the 1882 fund, Sacred Heart Catholic School, all heart, all here. That was the school where I came from. That was the one that we established. St. Patrick Catholic School, 1930 fund, okay? And then Catholic High School, Together for Catholic, the annual fund. So branding was something strong, okay? So people know this is a solid annual fund, and this school has been here a long time. They are strong. They're making an impact, okay? Distinctive and strong. Create a brochure, okay? I know we talked about, you know, annual fund is more than just sending out a brochure, but when you send your brochure, make it snazzy, okay? Jazz it up a little bit, right? Okay, let's get creative with this. So we're recommending oversized brochures, 6x9s or 5x7s, more pictures and less words. Really tell the story. Make it colorful and fun. And have a big envelope, okay? A 6.5x9.5 inch envelope, which screams cute child and party, okay? Something fun that makes people want to open that envelope, okay? So here is an example of an 1882 fund brochure that I did 2 years ago. Invest today, together we can, okay, because we're investing in the future. This was a 6x9 trifold, okay? So it's that was the front cover. Then we had, you can see a lot of, on the far left side, pictures, the giving levels, testimonials. And then on the back, what we did is we did a big shout out to everyone who donated the year before, which is a nice way to reinforce that. Thank you. That was the inside. Okay. So just making it a little more oversized, letting it jump out so it doesn't go in the, we want it just colorful and fun. Okay. That's the envelope from that particular year. Okay. Yeah, it was really cute. Really enjoy those. People love it. And then this is a 5x7 trifold. This is very nice as well, for Immaculate Heart of Mary. Different sized envelope. You can take a look at that one. And then that's there, the envelope. They're a little bit smaller, with a really cute picture on the front, and it just screams, open me, open me. What's in this envelope, you know, okay? And then with the return envelope as well. Okay, personalization and segmentation for written and digital solicitations. Personalize each letter. We won't go through every single one of these because I know we've talked about some of these in the other sessions, but the importance of personalizing your letters when you send them. I mean, you may not be able to personalize if you don't have that information, okay? But when you know people's names, you know the amount they've given in the past, personalize, personalize, personalize. Thank them for what they did last year. And it's always okay to ask for a little bit more for next year, okay? Like we've talked about in the other sessions, just ask. It's always okay to ask. The worst they can do is say no, okay? It's the worst they can do. Segmentation, basically that's, you know, going through your groups and sending out different letters to different groupings based on, historical giving, giving potential, could be alumni, occupation, that type of thing. These are some letter examples that you guys can look at a little bit later. I'm just kind of moving through here. Moving on to 12, the social media blitz. This is great fun. Okay, this is where you can really start weaving your annual fund messages and sharing the impacts and really showcase your school while creating fund awareness. So we did something called Project 82, okay, at Sacred Heart, and it's a little extreme. It is. It's a little extreme because I get a little extreme about the 1882 fund. I can tell you, I have a 23-year-old and a 20-year-old, and my son, the 20-year-old, says, Mom, anything that has to do with the 1882 fund, any big smile on my face, he said, did somebody donate to the 1882 fund? I mean, it's gotten to be a joke. This is how, I mean, I, 5 years of the 1882 fund has really gotten, you know, really fun. But, basically what we have here is we did an 82-day social media blitz about our school. Okay. So the very first year, we did 82 reasons to invest. So we did an annual fund kickoff. Okay. Now think about this. 41 days prior to the kickoff event, we started this campaign. So you can see like that's reason 56. We started with reason 1 and we went through reason 41. And then it kicked off and then we got all excited about our kickoff, put our cheerleaders on the post and all this. And then for the next 41 days, we did more. And at the very end, we had the gratitude, the thank you. So we've done this for 5 years and it's really helped us build our enrollment as well. I mean, now we're, okay, 210. So I mean, we've grown our school by quite a bit. The phone's been ringing, getting more inquiries, but, it's really fun to go through and just showcase all the great things going on in your school. So see that top one there on the left, 82 days in the light. This is a great example of that theme. Okay, remember I said create that school theme? Our school theme last year was a day in the light. And we called it a day in the light because every day was a new day, but also because our church and school is on a road called Lumine Christi Lane, which means the light of Christ. So we're kind of tied it all together, right? Okay. So what we did here is every day for 82 days, we talked about different things that our students are doing in the light. So these young ladies here, I can't read this from here, but I think the fourth grade was going to a retirement home with ornaments. So it's they're shining on. So we focus on light, brilliance, shine on, all that good stuff through that campaign. Then we did one year our campaign was the very important virtues, 82 days of virtue. And we showcased different things that our kiddos were doing with virtue through pictures, through schoolwork, a variety of different video. And then you can see All Heart, All Here, a couple of the other ones. Fun facts we did, All Heart, All Here. But it really just shows the awareness of our school throughout that campaign and gets people excited, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, towards the end. Yes, we had calls to action to give. Absolutely, positively. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ambassadors, important to find those wonderful, happy parent ambassadors who are going to shout your praises to their friends and keep your campaigns and your annual fund on track. Who can your ambassadors be? They can be your parents, of course. Throughout the year, you may want to designate one parent per grade. Okay, or depending on the size of your school, maybe one or two parents for a couple of grade levels, okay? So they can help you encourage donations and build up the excitement about the annual fund, okay? Give them the resources they need, recognize them, and thank them and evaluate as needed. One other point of interest here, if you have a Madrinas group, be sure that you're including other, you know, all ethnicity groups, ethnic groups in your campaign, because sometimes, certain populations may not understand. Okay. So we had a Madrina group, and I would sit down with our Madrinas and go through everything so they could explain what the annual fund was and how it was impacting, the entire school. Okay, so get those folks involved. We have one school right now who has about 5 different nationalities, and we're working on the Vietnamese folks, the Hispanics, some from Africa, different France, different groups, and really trying to educate everybody so everybody can participate in the annual fund. Okay, just important to encourage those communities. Matching gift challenges number 14, nothing better than a match. So what you're going to do, we want to get people excited about matching gifts, okay? I love a matching gift. So you're going to check out your donor history. See who your big donors are, and a big donor might be different in every school. Okay, we would start our matches at about $2,500, okay? Anywhere from $2,500 to $15,000. We would collect these matches prior to our campaign kickoff. So when we would kick off, we could say, we have a $5,000 match challenge for you. If we can raise $5,000 by the end of the week, this very generous individual would love to match this. Okay. You can get very creative with your matches. So in one thing I always like to remember, a match can come from more than one donor. If you don't have a big lead gift, you could put together some small ones for a match too. You just want to encourage those donations and shout it from the rooftops, okay? It just gets people excited. Here is an example, okay? You know, a couple examples of donors generously matching donations dollar for dollar up to X amount so your gift can go further. Okay. But matching is huge, and I highly recommend it. Get those matchers in your back pocket before your big campaign starts, okay? So you've got some, you've got a lot of momentum going with those matches, okay? Oh, my favorite. Faculty staff participation. Okay. Now, the national average for faculty staff participation is 76%. Our goal should be 100. We want all of our faculty and staff to participate, okay? We want everyone to be together for the mission of Catholic education. And when our staff members are supporting the annual fund, that shows the rest of the community, hey, this is really great. Thank you. Okay. So, important to note, we want to achieve 100% faculty participation by the time we kick off our annual fund. Okay? Because that's giving us momentum. That's showing, hey, we're all together. We're in support of the campaign. We're all supporting the mission of Catholic education. We want to use incentives and giveaways too. Okay. Here are some examples. I love these. Have a little raffle. Everybody loves a raffle. So you could do your back to school staff meeting. You ask your teachers, you support the annual fund. Your name gets entered into a raffle for a day off. What? A whole day off? Yeah. Everybody wants a day off. Okay. You get four drawings. So you do this through the month of September. You have four drawings. Every Friday there's a drawing. So the earlier you donate, the more chances you have to win, okay? You can also do giveaways. The school can determine what you want to give away here. So if I donate, maybe I get a special T-shirt. Maybe I get a special lanyard, okay? Maybe if I donate $50 or more, the teacher gets a nice monogrammed, logoed quarter zip. You can have contests between teachers. And get a teacher ambassador to motivate other folks, okay? Do you guys work a lot with your schools with staff participation? It can be a challenge, but once people get on board, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. School family participation, national average, 66%. Our goal here needs to be 100%. Add this to your SMART goals. Those SMART goals, add faculty participation and school family participation and watch that number grow from year to year. It's really exciting to see that. Have your ambassadors follow up, okay, with folks who haven't given, and then use incentives and giveaways, and then proofs. I love this proof idea. I have never done a proof idea. I think this is incredibly amazing. What you do, has anyone in here used proofs? They're great. Great idea. Great idea. It really motivates people to give. You send this out towards the end of your campaign or segment it throughout the year and show people who's given already. And you say, well, we're getting ready to thank all of our donors and we want to be sure you're on the list. And so you send that out and then people say, oh, well, Mr. Smith gave and then Mrs. Johnson says, look, the Smiths have given. We haven't given. We've got to give, you know. So, I mean, it really gets you competitive there and people really look at this. So this is a great idea. Highly recommend that. And then, some participation challenges. Give out annual fun themed swag. We had an 1882 fun t-shirt down there at the bottom. We made it vintage. Our school established 1882. That was a lot of fun. That we gave to kids when they participated. We gave out those tiny saints. Oh, that was so much fun. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton is the patron, is the saint of Catholic education. And so when families participated, they all received a tiny saint. That was great fun. Branded it. We would go around to the rooms and we would show the class participation challenge charts there, school-wide class competitions, pizza parties, movie popcorn, glow runs, all that good stuff for classroom competitions. Add a day of giving or a week of giving. I think we all know a lot about I Give Catholic. Highly recommend that. It's coming up December the 3rd. I'm trying to get all 20 of our schools to do that this year. It's going to be great. We're going to challenge each other to raise more money between our schools. It's going to be awesome. Here is an example of a giving week. Okay, really puts the excitement into a week of giving and can boost your participation with that parent week of giving. Okay, moving into the T, the thanking. Phone calls, phone calls, phone calls, phone calls. First time donors, be great if you could say thank you so much for sharing your support, you know, with our annual fund. Major gifts, and if someone has increased their gift size, yes. Golden. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I love that. That's awesome. So here are just some stats about thank you calls. 95% of people would appreciate getting a thank you call. 85% of donors would make another gift, and they would make a larger gift. 42% is the average increase, and 40 to 49% of donors who stop giving or give less do because they are not being thanked. I would have your principal or your advancement director. It could be your priest, whoever has a relationship there. A letter, okay, adding handwritten notes to your letters. Here are some nice examples, but always adding a handwritten note, you know, if they've made a big increase, if you know them personally, add a special little note on there. Social media, you could do some specific shout outs or overall general thank yous. Here we have a couple examples from our schools, thanking, you know, general support for the Wildcat Fund, showing how it's impacted. Here we have one that thanks some organizations for donating, and then an overall final thank you with a total amount that the annual fund made and some statistics there. Showcasing in your community, donor walls, a display board. This was our display board. It was like a big puzzle, and it is very hard to find good recognition pieces out there. Have you guys noticed that, where it's difficult to find donor boards that are reasonably priced? I'm like donor walls, boards. So this was a challenge. This is like a big magnetic puzzle. And you can move donors, around, according to how much they've contributed. So it's an incentive for them to give more. And we have that displayed right outside our church and school. Church bulletin, your back of your annual fund brochure that we saw earlier. An impact report. They could be called both. You can have school annual impact report, or, you could combine it with your parish. And this gives you some links to some really nice annual reports there. And you can dig into those links, at your leisure. Okay. How many of you guys do an annual or an impact report? Yep. That's good. People want to see where their money goes. Oh my goodness. Do they ever? Okay. And then just a few extras. This is key. Hire an advancement professional or someone who oversees your advancement efforts. Because working in a school for 10 years, I know our principals have a lot on their plate, and everyone needs some help. Okay. Now, it's very difficult to go out there and just say, I'm hiring an advancement professional. Okay. Now, there are other qualifications, like you can see in this particular advertisement, that could help you find someone. But I like it down here in the red where it says, regardless of career path, the next vice president of advancement must have demonstrated proficiency and capacity in building and maintaining relationships. Because all of us know these positions are relationship-based, and you have got to have somebody who builds relationships, who's not afraid to make an ask. Okay? 95% of them. All but one. And they're going through a transition right now. So they're going to be getting one. So we're thrilled with that. So it's so important. You can see so much growth in your schools by having a designated person with advancement. Yes. I that would depend on the size of your school. So you may, if it's a small school, you would only want to hire a part-time person. Or if that person was full-time, maybe you would roll that role into another role. So maybe they would be full-time. Like, for example, my role was development, but I also did finance, and I also did admissions. So they may have a few different hats that they're wearing. And then like at our Catholic high school, Charlotte Catholic, they have three people on their advancement team because they have like 1600 students. So it really just depends on the size of the school, but that's an excellent question. You do want to take a look at what your budget is for your annual fund. Okay. How much you're, you know, looking to earn and seeing what makes sense for your school. That's a great question. Thanks for bringing that up. Highly recommend getting a donor management system. The majority of our schools right now are using Bloomerang and Blackbaud. A couple of them are also using Faxgiving. You may be using a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet right now, which at least you're using something. But the Microsoft Excel spreadsheets don't give you the capacity and the capability that these software programs do. Highly recommend investing in one of these systems because they are going to make your advancement efforts so much easier. You're going to be able to communicate your messages. You're going to be able to track your donors. Highly recommend it. Okay.
All schools have one of those now?
Yes. Yes. All 20 of our schools do. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're excited about that. Or they're varied. Through the school-wide system, that MAX system, all 9 of them are using Bloomerang. And then out at our parish-based schools, several of them are using Fax. And then a couple others that I don't have listed up here, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's Bloomerang cost? It's not that expensive.
It depends on the size of your school and the size of your database, but you could get it, I got ours down to about $1,700 a year, okay, which isn't bad. If you have a really large school, if you have more records, it's going to cost you probably about $3,000, okay? But it's definitely worth a phone call, I can give you guys some recommendations who to contact if you want to call Mr. Morrison. I'm sure he would love to hear from you, okay? And then network. And we're all here at this conference networking. But I also want to invite you guys to join CEDR, which is the Catholic Education Development and Resources Group that was developed. Jim, how many years has this been around?
I think 3 years. So okay. Charlotte and Cleveland started this. So if you know anyone, it's for diocesan offices right now, but anyone in diocesan offices that works with schools at all can be part of this. So they're part-time responsible to diocesan elementary schools, or full-time, they can be part of this. But what we could do, we haven't done this yet, so I'm thinking out loud, maybe commit ourselves to doing something, but I think we can do that. If we want to start a support group for just school development folks, if you're interested in that, we can maybe start that too. We have one for Major Gifts right now. We have a coffee talk for Plain Giving Foundation. So if you're interested in maybe starting a coffee talk for Catholic schools, Charlotte and maybe Cleveland help you start that. So you'll get Camille's email at the end of the session today, and then let's talk about maybe doing a regular meeting, maybe once or two for school.
I love that. I love it.
So that'll be a new thing started just today. Just came up today.
Just today. Hot off the press. Let's do it. Okay. And our special bonus, okay, say a prayer. I think this is a beautiful prayer. I received this from one of my colleagues, and I just thought this was a beautiful, beautiful prayer for fundraising, and I wanted to be sure to share that with you guys as well. Okay, So we made it through. I'm so excited. I can't believe we made it through. I know I talked quickly through a lot of those slides, but I tell you, the getting everyone involved in your annual fund and sharing the excitement, getting folks to participate, you will have so much momentum going into your campaigns. People will want, they want to give. They want to give. They see all these beautiful things going on in your schools. You'll really see that participation increase.
So we go a couple minutes later if you want to. You want to stick around. Any other questions y'all have for
me? Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, thank you. You are awesome. I appreciate all the ideas. Our big fundraiser is our gala.
Yes.
It's a huge community building night, live auction, silent auction. We always do very well. However, we also have an annual appeal. Should those be messaged as one umbrella?
Yes. Wonderful question, and that is exactly why we started an annual fund 5 years ago. It's because we had that same thing. We had the big gala. We had all these things going on. And so what we did is we incorporated everything under one umbrella. So I would highly recommend doing that.
So you're saying it all goes towards
those? I would take it all. Yeah, we did. We did.
I'll tell you, you can say because it's not the microphone. Oh. Our bias over away from her gala a couple of years ago because
we do the gala first and then the annual appeal and people feel like, well, I already gave her the gala.
Right, exactly.
So I'm wondering if we like mix the annual appeal because everybody loves the gala. I'm not sure how to balance the gala.
The annual appeal is more important than the gala because you'll get major gifts from that, fine gifts from that. How long did it take you to get rid of your gala over like a 3-year period?
Not even 3 years. We just ripped off the Band-Aid. Our gala, our auction, what we did, I mean, we were raising like over $150,000 with it, but we ran out of volunteers, all administration, we were doing it. And what was happening is we didn't have the capacity anymore to be doing, taking care of this, enrolling students. We couldn't do it all. So my principal and myself, we said, we can't do this anymore. And so we ripped off the Band-Aid. And
we got more money.
We got a lot more money. So the first year that we did our annual fund, we made $101,000 with only $7,000 with expenses. So we really did great. And
they didn't net that much with the gala.
No, we were netting like $60,000 with that. So, I mean, a huge difference. And, I mean, are we still on?
Still on.
Oh. You're welcome.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can give any time throughout the year.
Right.
But when your goal is 100% participation from your school families, mm-hmm. do you have a specific push in time, a certain number of weeks? For example, we're doing right now our push on the annual gift campaign, mm-hmm. as we call it, because we're getting ready to have the parish tithing ask, and then we'll have the district annual appeal, and all those at the parish school, our families hear that. So mm-hmm. do you typically start off
I would follow up with them throughout the whole year. I would do it like your big push. Do your big push and try to get everybody to participate. And then just keep everybody posted on how things are going. So that then you can continuously reach back out to those who have not given. You could do a soft push, sending emails, just segmenting to those people who haven't given yet. If it still gets closer towards the end of the year and they haven't given, I would go ahead and send a personal note from the principal, asking for them to prayerfully consider the donation to try to get that in. And then for the following year, you can say we've had 100% participation, family participation, and you could quantify that. Does that make sense?
You'll be around for other questions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Good to see you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate your opportunity. Thank you so much.